Let's look. We're up to over here. Okay, it's much better now. Okay, here we go. We're up to over here. Pasuk Yudchesa. He's Sheni. Okay, we're doing what we're Sheni until we get to the worm. Welcome everyone, welcome Rav Leza, Mr. Ms. Glatter, Mr. Rappaport. Baruch Hashem, you all here. Vayitein el Moshe kichalos l'davaritoin behar sinai shnei luchos ahoydos luchos evim kusum b'shir b'etzba elokim. Okay, so now over here we're going to the Chet HaEgel, the Sheni. The first Aliyah is a very, very long Aliyah. A massively long Aliyah, the first Aliyah. Now we go to Sheni. And Sheni discusses the Chet HaEgel. So the Chet HaEgel is introduced with the Luchos Rishonis. The first Luchos Hashem, Vayitein Hashem, Vayitein el Moshe, Hashem gave to Moshe kichalosoy. Lidaberito, when Hashem finished speaking to him, Bahar Sinai, Shnei Luchos Ha'edus. Two tablets, Ha'edus. Okay, why two tablets? One was from Apple, and one was from Android. Just in case Moshe Rabbeinu has any problem with the operating system, okay, there's an Apple and there's an Android. I don't know if you people get a joke, but that's a good joke. That is a good joke, you have to appreciate that joke. Mr. Apple, you got the joke? Why two tablets? Apple, you got the joke? Why two tablets? Two luchos? Because today on the market there are two companies, there are two major operating systems. There's the Apple and then there is the Android. Okay, whatever. If you got the joke, you got the joke. You didn't get the joke. Sorry. You don't get the joke? I believe you don't get the joke. Today. There are two major operating systems. There's Apple. Apple makes the OS. Apple, whatever it's called, they make their own. Half the world is using an Apple operating system. They have the iPhones, the iPad, everything is the iOS, their operating system. And then there is the competitor. The competitor is Google. Google made what's called Android. And Android operates on many different types of hardware. Operates on Samsung, operates on the Pixel. They make their own line of products. And then there is all of the Chinese stuff. These are the two major competitors. And they both make tablets. Okay, so there's the iOS tablet and there's the Android tablet. So that's Moshe, just in case he doesn't know how to operate Android, he'll figure out the Apple. Some people like Apple.
Yeah, okay, fine. Understand.
Two luchos. Vayitel Moshe kachalot leda b'ritoy b'har Sinai shnei luchos ha'edus luchos seven. Okay, luchos, two tablets of te'elus. Luchos seven, luchos of stone, kisuvim, they're written be'etzba elokim, with the finger of Hashem. Etzba, Hashem doesn't use a stylus. Hashem doesn't use a pen. It's interesting. You know why? Because it was a touch screen. On the touch screens, you know, you use your finger on the touch screens. It was a touch screen tablet. There is no stylus, there is no keyboard, there is no pen. That's how you operate your smartphone with your finger. Hashem was ahead of his time. Shnei luchos ha'edus, luchos even, tablets of stone, kisuvim, they're written be'etzba elokim. Okay, now let's see what it says over here in the Targum. The Targum was a very long Targum on this pasuk. Am I on the right pasuk over here? No, it's on the wrong pasuk here. The Hav L'Moshe, it was given to Moshe, Kadwen Sheitse. The word Sheitse is a good word. It means when he finished. Sheitse means when he was finished. L'malolo ime, speaking with him. Betud in the mountain, the Sinai. Trei Luchei Sardus, two tablets of testimony. Luchei Avna, tablets of stone. Kisivin written be'etz ve'odah Hashem. Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayitei Moshe ein mukdam u'mu'ucha b'Torah." The first thing Rashi says that we read the word of the Torah, because Parshas Kisisa appears in the Torah after Parshas Teruma and Tetzaveh. But when did this parsha begin? This entire section about the Chet HaEgel, it happened before the Chet HaEgel. Okay, so therefore this happened before the Chet HaEgel. So Rashi right away says, in Muklam Mucha B'Torah, there is no order. This really took place before Parashas Teruma and Tetzaveh. period. And for that matter, probably took place before Parashas Mishpatim as well. Maybe not. I don't know, we have to see the exact order. But in any event, in Mukdam Mukhot Torah, Maisa Egel Kodem Lutzim Volachasam Mishkan Yomim Rabim Hoya, Sharei B'Yitzayim B'Tamuz, on the 17th day of Tamuz, Mishtabu Haluchos, Moshe went up to Shemayim on Zion Sivan. He came down on Yud Zion Shivasa B'Tamuz. Moshe Shard Haluchos. Uviyam HaKippurim Nisrat Seklesh, then he went back up to Shemayim for another 80 days. And he came down on Yom HaKippurim. And Hashem gave him on Yom HaKippurim the second Luchos. And then, and that was the 10th day of Tishrei. 5 days later, they began to build the Mishkan. Moshe told them about the Mishkan. And then for 3 days, they made a collection. And then the construction began on the 15th day of Tishrei. And then they finished the construction on the 25th day of Kislev. And then they waited until Aleph Nisan to inaugurate the Mishkan. So what we learned about the building of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan took place from Yom Kippur until Chafei Kislev. And this parasha took place on Shivasa B'Tamuz, 40 days before they even began. 40 days before Moshe even went to Shiv. 40 days, 80 days before Moshe Rabbeinu came down even to tell them about the Mishkan. So the Rashi says, there's no way this can be in order. Okay, fine. So Rashi is giving us an introduction. I don't think the Targum, not Mash, the Targum doesn't have any problem with that. Kechaloisai. What's this unusual word? The Targum to the word kechaloisai means l'sheitzei. At the conclusion. Rashi here says, kechaloisai kechsev. Rashi takes note, kechaloisai, which means choser. What's missing? Kechaloi. There should be a vav in between the lamid and the saf. Kechaloisai. What happened to the vav? Why is the vav missing? Therefore, Rashi says, what kichalosoi is related to a choson and a kala. And it is the custom that is that the kala b'matana kikala l'choson, like a kala to a choson. Now, simply, you know what this means? It means that a kala gives a choson a gift. Today, I think it's the opposite. I don't know for sure, but how does it work? Today, I think that more gifts are given by the chosam to the kala than the kala gives to the chosam. Unless you'll say another, but today, I don't know how that works today. Everyone is different. Today, we live in the global melting pot, and there are really no rules. There are no rules at all. But in the time of the Torah, there were rules. There were certain system, which I don't think we can relate to at all today, where a kala would give a matana to the chosan. It doesn't say the chosan gives, as the kala gives. And therefore, it was impossible for Moshe to master the entire Torah in a short time, and therefore, it was a given. This is an incredible insight. And again, so even Moshe, Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, kichaloisoi ledaber ito, when he finished, alti kichaloisoi, ela kichalosoi. Instead of there being a choylam on top of the lamid, make believe there is a komatz by the lamid, kichalosoi, a kala. And what does it mean? It means that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu knowledge more than what was physically possible for a human being to absorb. Person Moshe, there's a science to how much knowledge a person can accumulate in his lifetime over a period of time, and sometimes we find people that have accumulated knowledge that is impossible for a human being alderech hateva to accumulate. How does this work? It's rooted in this pasuk. When it comes to Torah, which is divine, when Hashem wants, Hashem miraculously puts in the mind of the person who Hashem wants knowledge of Torah more than is physically possible, especially in Zman, in time, possible. It's very powerful words. So we hear Nachum Kaloisa Ksiv, Shalahoya Yachal Lilmoy Kula Bisman Muad Kizet. It was impossible. And yet Hashem gave him this knowledge. Now it's very interesting over here. You know why this is very interesting? Because this is serves as the Hakdama to the Egel. What was the problem with the Egel? The people were impatient. They couldn't wait. The very next pasuk, Boishesh Moshe Laredes Minahar. They thought that Moshe was supposed to come down on day 16 at 12 o'clock. And on day 16 of he did not show up. So they right away thought something happened. He died, who knows? And they made it. And then the next day in the morning they made the Egel. And Moshe was really supposed to come down on day 17 at 12 o'clock. Now, why were they so impatient? So I want to suggest that it's totally in the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, it says Moshe Rabbeinu was able to accomplish in a matter of time much faster than could have been accomplished. And even though Klal Yisrael was not in Shemayim, but they got this sense that Moshe Rabbeinu was operating at an accelerated speed. So look at the contrast between Pasuk Yud Ches and Pasuk Aleph, or the next parak. By the way, isn't this very interesting that the Parakim are broken up like this? This is a Christian, this is something that Michal Miller talk about. This is a Christian break over here. There's no need for there to be a break between Pasuk Yud Ches and Pasuk Aleph. And this is something only the Christians would do. It's they would say, they thrive. Christians are thriving on the fact that the Jewish people are deficient and they're no good and therefore they need to be replaced by them. And therefore they begin the chapter with our chesroinus. Vayar ho'om ki vayshesh Moshe l'redes min ho'har. That's a big process to start like that. The Hakdama to the Egel is vayitil Moshe ki chaloysim daber itay. This episode of the Egel is introduced with an expression of love. Kechosan, achosan and akal. And Kadosh Baruch Hu, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah. I'm jumping around too many different ideas at one point in time, or one moment. But these two psukim, they go together. And what's very fascinating is the opening line of Pasuk Yudches El Moshe Kechaloisa speaks about operating very, very quickly. And Pasuk Aleph, the next parak, discusses a delay. And there is a disparity between what's going on. Moshe, he's absorbing information at 5G speed. Okay, the information is just going so fast. So you'd expect if it goes so fast, Moshe Rabbeinu should return early. He mastered Kol HaTorah Kula in a moment's notice. So Moshe, he said, I'm coming down in 40 days. No, he should come down in 30 days, in 20 days. And now it's already what they think is 30, 40 days plus. They cannot wait 1 second. Why could they not wait 1 second? It's because they expected Kichaloisik Chosesh Nimshlo Torah B'matan Kichalol Chosan Shelo Hoya Yochalil Mod Kula Bizman Muad Kizeh. Time was condensed. And if time is condensed, in their mind, it's impossible for Moshe Rabbeinu not to have arrived even early. I went to a Levaya recently, and they said about the Niftar, he never ever came late, ever. It's true, I knew this person, never came late, he was always there early. And his motto was, better 10 minutes early than 1 second late. So if Moshe says he's coming after 40 days, he should come down after 30 days, after, he should come early. Especially when it says in the Hakdama Kichaloisai, where it says, B'matana Kichosel Kalashlo, Hoy Yochalul Makula Bizman Muad Kazeh. It's a short time. Okay, that's one shot. Dover Acher, Ma Kala Miskashetet, B'chof, now before you go further, I wanted to make another point over here. Over here it says, Shinim Shalayin Torah B'matana Kichalol L'chosana. What does that mean? So simply means it's like a gift that a kala gives a chassan. So why does Rashi say that? So Teretz is, do you know what the gift is? The kala is the gift. The very, very fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a spouse, that is a gift. That is a gift in it of itself. It doesn't say here, just like Shanim Shalei Torah B'matana, like kichala that gives money, gives a gold watch, gives a talis, gives, I don't know what you give, whatever you give, whatever the kala gives the chas, doesn't say that. It says, just like Hashem bestows upon a person a gift by providing him with a kala, so too Hashem provided Moshe with a gift. He put into his brain information, knowledge, at a speed that is beyond lemala miderech hateva. Then he goes on to the Rach, Makala miskashetes. Another drasha, b'chof dal kishutin, hein amur m'sefi yishaya, aft ha'am chochem tzach liyatz boki b'chof dal tzifadim. Okay, this we discussed many times in the Shir, is that a kala, that the Torah is divided into 24 sections. There are 24 books, and the simon to remember it is Chanukah. There is Chamish Echum Shei Torah, and then the word Chanukah. Ches Nevi'im, Ches Nun, the word Chanukah, Ches Nun Vav Chav Hei. Ches is Ches 8 prophets, Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melochim, and then Nevi'im Achronim of Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Yirmiyah, and Shrei Asar. That's Ches Nun, Ches Nevi'im. Then Vav Chav, 6 Kisuvim, Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov, Devar Hayamim. What I leave out? Tehillim, Iyov, Mishlei, Devar Hayamim. 2 more.
Yeah, sure.
No. Those are the Megillos. Those are the Megillos. What else? What I leave out here? What?
Daniel.
Yeah, one more. Ezra Nechemiah. Good. You got it. That's it. Then one. Ezra Nechemiah is considered one. Ezra Nechemiah is one. Ezra Nechemiah. Daniel. Divrei Hayamim. Iyov, Tehillim, and Mishlei.
Mishlei,
Iyov, Tehillim, Divrei Hayamim. Ezra Nechemiah is one. Divrei Hayamim, and Daniel. Okay, those are the 6. Vav Kisuvim, and then what's the Hey? The Hey are the Chomesh Megillot, the 5 Megillas. Chomesh Megillas. So there are 24 Sifrei Nach, and there's a Messiah that has to be 24. A Kala in ancient times wore 24 garments, 24 different items. These items are listed, enumerated, in the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. There it's said in an uncomplimentary way. And Sefer Yeshaya, it said that if you're not going to behave yourself, then instead of you wearing 24 garments of beauty, you will be bruised. These parts of the body, which are ordinarily covered with these beautiful garments, will be bruised and damaged. So from that conversation Hashem has there with Yechezkel, we learn that a kala ordinarily wears 24 garments. So there are 24 books in the Torah, the Chamish Echum Shei Torah, the Chanukah, Ches Nevi'im, Vav Kesuvim, and the Hei Megillas, for a total of 24. And these 24 books is the Kala, and just like a Kala, she adorns herself, at least in ancient times, in 24 items, so too a Talmud Chacham must be a master in the 24 books of Tanakh. That's the Drasha. A Kala. Makala miskashet es b'chavdal kishudim hini heimuim b'sev yishai kach tam vod sakunis boki b'chavdal tzfarim tzar. L'daber itoi hachukim ha-mishpatim sh'b've'ila ha-mishpatim, to speak to him. So here he's saying the chukim and the mishpatim sh'b've'ila ha-mishpatim. So what is Rashi we're saying? He's saying a very, very important thing, that the parsha of the ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem was transmitted to Klal Yisrael immediately after Matan Torah. Because in other words, if you would want to argue, maybe you can argue that the parsha of Eilah HaMishpatim was said after Moshe, after they built the Mishkan. Moshe told Klal Yisrael Torah for 40 years. When did Moshe Rabbeinu say the Eilah transmit the Eilah HaMishpatim? Since already Rashi here in the beginning of this section taught us, Ein Mukdam Mukhav Torah, And this entire parasha was really occurred before parashas Teruma and Tetzaveh. So why not go to the logical conclusion that this section happened even before Ve'ele HaMishpatim? Maybe right after parashas Yisro, immediately this happened. Who says the parasha Ve'ele HaMishpatim took place at the point where it is in the Torah? So Rashi is coming to say, no, that isn't correct. That although it's true, ein mukim lachem haTorah, there are certain things you have to know exactly the order. And according to what he says, Ladaber ita Hashem already told him Ve'ele HaMishpatim, all of those laws. La'achar chukim haMishpatim shebeilu mishpatim. Ladaber ita malamit shayu Moshe shemem pi agvura v'choshim v'shoinin es hachalocha shneim yachad. To speak itoy with him. Okay, so what do you mean Ladaber ito? Not Lavidel Moshe v'chalos v'al Ladaber ito b'har Sinai. To speak itoy. Ladaber itoy. Rashi malamit Moshe shemem pi agvura. V'choizrin v'shoinin es ha'halacha shneim yachad. Ito. The word of ito means together. Fascinating Rashi. See, if you don't spend, you don't focus, they'll totally blow you over this Rashi. But after Hashem told Moshe the laws, let's sit down and review it together. We learn that from the word itoy. Luchois. Over here, the word luchos is missing a vav. Why? So we can pronounce as luchas. Luchas, chesiv shayu shteyin shavos. They're exactly identical. How can they be exactly identical? The words, there are more words on the luchos rishonos than there are in the luchos shneos. No, it's a kasha. It's a kasha. There are more words in luchos shneos, but therefore there's still the tablets. Even though there was more words on the first tablets, it doesn't matter. They were still considered to be, they were exactly the same. Okay, so we've gone to the Rashi. Rashi is jam-packed with chidushim. Okay, one pasuk. Okay, Lord, only one pasuk. We can spend the whole day on learning the parasha. And it's just Rashi. Review. We say this. Vayitem l'moshe. First of all, ein mukdam mukha b'Torah. It says here kechaloisoi, which means kechaloisoi, it's choser, which allows us to read it ke-ka- Losa with a komatz instead of a cholam, a bride. Why bride? A bride is a gift. Hashem gives a person a kala. Hashem gives a person a bride, a male a bride. It's a gift. I guess you say the same the other way around. That every woman that gets a chosam is also a gift. And therefore, what is it teaching you? Teaching an incredible principle that when it comes to knowledge, Torah knowledge. Torah knowledge is not like other knowledge, other forms of knowledge. Other knowledge, we don't find the principle that a person can absorb information at an accelerated pace. Information goes into the mind at a normal pace. Elon Musk, you know Elon Musk is? He's the one who invented Tesla. So he has a lot of money to spend, and he's done experiments. He's trying to make transhuman beings. You know what that means? To put computer chips into the brain in order to have information seep into your brain at an accelerated pace. So it was in the news yesterday or today. He has 23 monkeys, 23 chimpanzees. He put into their brain computer chips to somehow make a shidduch between a human being. 15 of these monkeys that he experimented with are dead. So it goes to show that this experiment of trying to make to download information to the brain, it's not working so well. I don't know, maybe we'll get it to work. We'll try to do it to people so that but when it comes to ordinary knowledge, there's a derech of how much you can absorb. And yet by Moshe Rabbeinu it's incredible, he's able to absorb information at an accelerated rate that's l'mala miderech hateva. Why? Because Torah knowledge is not ordinary knowledge. It is spiritual.
I thought the Torah is a matana, a gift, for exactly that reason that they couldn't absorb it all. I read that somewhere, I don't know where.
Okay, there are different dimensions. There are different dimensions. There's no question the Torah is a gift. But Rashi's words, Rashi here is saying a very powerful word. Rashi, very, at least in these words, Shelo hoy yochol lilmoid kula bizman mu'at kezeh. In 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu absorbed the entire Torah. And that, Rashi says, is impossible. And therefore, the only way this happened was Hashem miraculously put the information into his head. This is an incredible theological concept here. This is an incredible concept over here. What Rashi was saying, something that is explosive. That Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. It wasn't just Tom. You know, when you think about Moshe going to Shemayim, he didn't eat for 40 days, 40 nights. What does that mean exactly? He didn't eat? What does that mean? He's a human being. No one's saying that Moshe was a god. He didn't eat for 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't sleep. What's going on here? Okay, he had a revelation. He saw God. Ki lo yirani hodan v'chai. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't see Hashem, but he came pretty close. Okay? He saw the back of Hashem. What does that mean exactly? These are all very mystical concepts. But add this that no one talks about. And when Moshe came down from Shemayim, he knew it all. Kol ma the Talmud Vosik Osir l'hischadish her l'akadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem showed him. It's not possible in 40 days to absorb the amount of information that Moshe had in his head. It's just humanly impossible. So how does this work? The answer is this information is divine. And when dealing with something that is divine, it has a different set of rules. And if Hashem wants a person to have this information, Torah, it could happen. And that explains why we find certain Gedolei Yisrael, they are very great people in Klal Yisrael, they knew everything. How do they know everything? It's not even possible. Talk about the Beis Yosef. Someone wants to explain this to the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, so what did he write? He wrote the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. He wrote the Beis Yosef on the Tor. And then he summarized in the Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote some other things. He wrote more things. He wrote another whole bunch of books that he wrote, massive books. The two major works were the Kesef Mishnah. So when they reprinted, you know, retypeset the Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, someone told me how many secretaries, how many professional typists sat and typed away, copying word for word the Beis Yosef for the new Shulchan Aruch. This goes back 20 years ago, even more. And they made the calculation. It was an astronomical amount of time that it took typists, professional typists, just to type, and then has to be checked. And then they wondered, wait a minute, if we need a team of people who are typing lightning fast to go copy every word of the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef and plus all of his other works, that itself is and to have a person do this, let's say a person were to do this by hand with a pen and to write it, it would take a lifetime. And then that's just to write it. What about to learn the information, to know the information in order to have what to say, chidushim, to put it down? That will take many lifetimes for any ordinary person. So how in the world was it possible for one person to even just take a pen, take a quill, and put this all down in writing? It's mind-boggling. No one knows. And don't say it was done by many people, because it wasn't. Because we know, yeah, they probably even have the manuscripts, some museum. And you cross rare. How is this possible? It's mind-boggling. There's no answer to this. It's mamish. And this was how many years ago? What, 350 years ago? It's mind-boggling how a mind is able to do this. Even the Rambam. You know how big the Yad HaChazakah is? How massive it is? How was the Rambam able to go find the Torah just even to write it? And the Rambam Perash HaMishnayis, it would take a person many lifetimes. It would take a person the amount of effort just to pick a quill and write all this down is almost impossible. And then what about learning all this? How do you have time to learn Shas and all the Mefarshim and all the Pesukim and everything in order to know what to write? And what he writes is like super, super brilliant. It's not to be believed. It all comes from this Pasuk. This Pasuk is Shlohoya Yochalulmag Kula Bisman Muad Kazeh. It's rooted in this miraculous event, and this is called a kala. A kala is a gift, and a gift I mean, it's very. I mean, it's very very. What does it do with the time? I mean, the whole thing. There are many questions on this Rashi. So okay, fine. This is a very nice thing. This is a miracle. What does this miracle have to do with a bride? A bride is a gift. So Hashem gave Moshe a gift. He gave him the knowledge super fast. Very nice. He gave him the knowledge. But you know, there are many ways. You give someone. You have a job. You give someone a bonus. Yeah, a parent gives a child money. I mean, what does this have to do with a kala? I don't know. There's a lot of mysteries here in this Rashi. The Rashi is certainly saying quite a bit. And then Rashi says another pshat. Kala is the chaf dalet kishut. It's a very beautiful chazal. A kala has to be beautiful, 24 sarm. And then we have the next kiddush over here is, incredible words over here, it's itoy. It wasn't enough for Moshe to give the shir. When Hashem gave Hashem gave Moshe a shir, after the shir was over, he stuck around to discuss it with the Talmidim. You know, there's certain rabbis, like in college. You teach Israel, you teach in college. Okay, so you know that there's certain professors, you know, the class is over, get lost. You want to talk to me? It's office hours. Come to see me. I used to teach adjunct in Brooklyn College. So they're office hours. Everyone, the second the class ended, they run away. And no one ever came to my office hours. And, no, part of it is Ledaber Itoy. When the class is over, Moshe reviewed it with Moshe Rabbeinu and discussed it with him. Luchos Even, it's very important that it's spelled Choser to teach you that it's only one, that even though the content of the Luchos is different, so you'd expect them to weigh different weights. No, miraculously, they were exactly the same. And don't forget about my jokes. The two tablets, the iOS and Android. Etzba, you use a finger. This is a touchscreen. Hashem wrote it on a touchscreen. Hashem gave Mantai was to Zoom. What's the first thing you say when you go on Zoom? Can everyone please silence, mute themselves? What did Hashem say? Has kol bosa miponai. Silence. A lot of jokes like this going around. But Hashem was ahead of his time. He used his finger. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Use your finger, like a smartphone, use your finger. You got to admit, Hashem was ahead of his time. The world wasn't ready for him. Okay, now, let's go back to the Targum for 1 second. The word Sheitze. We have this very long Rashi with all this beautiful Pirushim, and the Targum Onkelos, he doesn't go for this. He has one word. One little word, three letters, She Kadwen Sheitse. What does the word Sheitse mean? The word Kad Sheitse, this is Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. No, he doesn't even want to give it a perush. How do you like that? Okay, he doesn't want to say. And then the Etzba de Hashem, over here, so that's Hashem Shachich Arayi Kosaram Shuk Mismach Lashon Gashra, I'm Yiluam. Okay, he doesn't want to say. Let's give one quick look at the other Sefer. Another sefer. There actually, someone just published another sefer on Targum. Mom just came out like a few weeks ago. I didn't get it yet. Maybe I'll get it for Hayikra. Maybe we'll see if they have it. He has one. I don't know if he has one yet. Maybe. Let's see. Bo b'shalach Yisro b'shvatim tzave. Okay, tzave. He sees. So here we go. Perik Lamed Aleph. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches, from the very end. Let's see if he says something over here nice. Nope, he doesn't want to say anything. How do you like that? Very shy over here. The commentators are very shy today. Okay, let's go now to the next Pasuk. Now we start the Eagle. And this is an explosive Pasuk. Okay, we have only a few minutes. Just begin a little bit. This is an explosive Pasuk. Of course, by the other very important things we said today, it's very important, is this is Apikorsis. You see the number 32 on the screen? To separate Pasuk Yud Ches from Pasuk Aleph. It's pure apikorsis. Every single chapter break in Tanakh was done by the Christians. And this has crept into our Mesorah. And B'li Yoytze Min HaKlal, with no exception, every single chapter break was an attempt to infiltrate the Holy Torah and inject apikorsis. I mean, it's obvious.
Why do we accept it? So why do we accept it?
So there was an attempt about 100 years ago to reject. There was an attempt. there was an attempt made about 100 years ago to make a new Seder, a new order. And if you look at the Korain Chumash, they have it. The Korain Chumash has both, which makes it even more mixed up, because you don't know. You look at the chapter, on one side it's the traditional Christian, on the other side is the new order, the new global world order, if you know what I'm talking about. And they always get mixed up which character, which is the real one, which is the new and the old one. But in any event, I don't know why. It's part of Golos. It's a reminder that we are in Golos, and this has infiltrated. It's an incredible topic of discussion. How in the world is it still today possible? We live today in a free world, where Baruch Hashem, we have freedom to a degree that we were never able to extract ourselves from this. And it's not going away, because all of the Sfarim today, they refer. Because every time you take a Sefer, go look in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph. You're not going to be able to go backwards. It's beyond repair. It's too late. There's no way we can correct this. That's how it is. They've infiltrated. And here, look at this. Over here, you end off a Shabbos. That is Samach, Parsha Stuma. Now, that's a break. That's a chapter break. Okay, that's a break. And now we begin the next Parsha. That's a real break, a Samach, Parsha Stuma. Now we begin by Yitel Moshe, a Sefer Torah. There's no break between Betz Elokim Vayarhom, Kivayishus Moshe. It's all continuous. Why is it continuous? Because this is a terrible, terrible insult to Klal Yisrael. Vayarhom, Kivayishus Moshe, Lodetz Minahor. And they said, Kum Asay Lanu Elohim, Asher Yelchul Lefinim, Kizim Moshe Ha'ish. So the Christians, they love this. Because this is our downfall. This is the downfall of the Hebrews. The Hebrews are going to be rejected, and Hashem is going to replace the Hebrews with its replacement theology. This Christian theology, the Hebrews, the ancient Hebrews, they were meant to be great, great, but they blew it. So God replaced them with Yashka, with the Christians. They have been replaced. So they have to show us up everywhere. You see our downfall. Here's where they start. Apikorsis, the beginning of the Egel is. Don't forget, it's almost like, you know what the drasha is? It's like the Chosam Kala picture is still on the wall. Many people go into their house, what do you see on the piano, on the buffet? You see their Chosam Kala picture. Or if they don't want to put their Chosam Kala picture, because they don't want people to see anymore after Baruch Hashem, after 50 years, so they put on the buffet, the children. Go to anyone's house, what do you see on the wall? You see picture of a Chosam Kala. Usually their children. Where's their picture? Maybe somewhere in the house when not available to the public. Why? When people get upset at each other, they get angry and there are fights, somehow you look at the Chosam Kala pictures. You know, we're in it. Whether you like it or not, we're stuck. there's a unit, there's a band, there is an entity, ki chaloisai, kala. No matter what happens now, ki boyishish moisha, doesn't matter. Klal Yisrael and Hashem are a chosam kala. And with all the fighting, all the problems, there's no divorce. It's not only is there no divorce, the relationship remains together, chosam kala. If a chosam kala have a disagreement, where should they get married? Should they get married in the plaza? Or should they get married in Vayel Moshe, in Williamsburg, in a basement? So they have a very big disagreement. But do they still get married? They still get married. Even a disagreement. Despite the churban that's coming with the Chet HaEgel, don't forget, the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, Vayidin Moshe, Kichaloyse L'Dabar Itay. Moshe is the leader of Klal Yisrael, and he captures the Lev Ha'am, and Hashem's eyes were a chosam kala. And therefore, so new, we messed up. Big deal, what else is new? We messed up. This chapter break here is such a chutzpah. It is such a chutzpah noira. It's beyond belief how they get away with this. It's purely a Christian stab at the heart of Klal Yisrael. To have the chutzpah to put a chapter break here. The Torah didn't put a chapter break here. The Torah put a chapter break after Vayinofash. And then we begin with the Chedo Egel, and the Hakdama is Hashem gave us the Torah. And Hashem gave us it in a miraculous way. Klaishal made a mistake. So they made a mistake. Don't ever forget that Hashem gave us the Torah. It's all part of one relationship. Okay, we never really have time, so we'll read the Pathim and we'll stop. The word Vayishesh is a very, very powerful word, which means a lot of Hezber. Moshe delayed. He writes it, Oichar. Loredes v'nochor v'yikol ha'mal aroin. V'yavarilav kumasi l'anulim ha'sha yelich l'faneinu. Make for us a God that will go before us. Kizeh Moshe ha'ish. Asher ha'elanu meretz Mitzrayim. We took us out of Egypt. Lo yodanu me'hoilan. What happened to him? Okay, so this is Mirat Hashem. Tomorrow we will continue. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you for coming and listening. All the best.
Thank you,
Rabbi Lays, have a good night. Thank you for coming. Mr. and Ms. Glatter, good night. Norman Force.
Thank you very much. Good night.
My pleasure.
Good night.
Norman, can you explain to me something? Are you there, Norman? Norman, are you there?
Yes.
Can you explain to me? I'm thoroughly, thoroughly ignorant about Canada. Justin Trudeau. What exactly is he? Canada has how many provinces are there in Canada? How does all this work?
I have no idea. I don't know. I'm green as you are. He's just like the overseer, I guess, the premier.
But there are many. There are different provinces. Each province has its own autonomy. Is there like a federal system there's a federal system?
Yeah.
So he's the top of everyone.
Yeah.
So, but. Ontario. What's Ontario? What is that relative to Montreal and to?
It's a province.
And Montreal is also a province.
It might be part of Ontario. I think it's Ontario and Quebec are two different provinces.
Montreal is a city.
And Quebec? What's Quebec? I'm thoroughly ignorant.
Quebec is a province.
Province. So Justin Trudeau, what is he? What is his role in this country?
Prime Minister of Canada.
Of everything put together? Everything?
British Columbia, Edmonton, all of Canada.
So how come you read on the news that this province decides they let the people do whatever they want? And Justin Trudeau says, no, you have to do what I want. Who has more weight?
In other words, it's a form of federal government. In other words, Biden can say one thing and the governor of Arizona say, I don't have to abide by it.
Uh-huh. It's similar to the United States. He's like
yeah.
The federal, he represents the federal, like the federal government, and each province is like a state.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many provinces are there in Canada?
I think around 8 or 10.
Oh, that's a lot. Wow. Okay, interesting, very interesting. All right, thank you for the information. I have to brush up on my elementary school geography.
It's eighth grade geography.
Eighth grade geography. I never really thought somehow I would seem to know more about Poland than Canada. All right.
Next door neighbor. You could, after you finish with Canada, you could study the government of Mexico.
Oh, Mexico, yeah. Okay. All right. Then we'll figure out what's in the Atlantic Ocean.
Thank you.
Okay, well, good night. Be well. Be well. Bye.